Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Today, I'm so excited to kick off the sizzling summer with our guest speaker. Jeremy and Jen Foster are no stranger to James River Church. They pastor Hope City Church in the Houston, Texas area, a multi-site church that prior to the pandemic, one of the fastest growing churches in the nation. He is known not only across the country, but around the world as one of the most dynamic communicators of the gospel on the face of the globe. But you know, he's a friend of James River. He's a friend to Debbie and I. On the day this last spring when I was diagnosed with cancer, I got a text when I'd gotten the diagnosis. I was just sitting in my living room. I actually was sitting by myself at the moment, and I got a text, and it was Jeremy. And Jeremy said, "I cannot get you off of my heart. What's going on?" And I called him and told him, and his dad had walked through two different diagnoses of prostate cancer. So he said, "Hey man, I know something about this. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I know a little bit about it. Whatever I can do to help, however I can help, you need me to come preach, whatever you need, you let me know." But then what he did is for the next several weeks, he was texting and calling my kids, saying, "Listen, I want to be there for you. I want to encourage you." And it just meant so much to me and to Debbie, and I know to my kids. So this is a guy who's not just some special speaker from somewhere. This is a guy who's a friend to us. He loves James River. I'm hoping he'll eventually just call it his second home, but would you join me at all the campuses here at the South Online? Let's give it up for Jeremy Foster in the house.
Jesus in ovation of worship right now. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "I feel free." It's Freedom Weekend, baby. We're going to get set free. You can be seated at all of our locations, north, west, Joplin, all around the world, all the campuses. I think our church might just be a campus for you guys, which is fine. I'll call this my first home. That's fine. I'll change my last name to Lindell. You keep playing with me. Jeremy Lindell sounds kind of good. I walk right into the inheritance. I'm the older brother. I mean, come on, guys. I'm playing. Oh, I'm pretty sure my little brothers could beat me up. So it is what it is. They double team me. Whatever. David, I love you, man. I see those guns, bro. I see you. You're a ninja. It really is an honor to be with you guys. And I want to say this up front. If it's your very first time here, first off, let's give them a great big hand. Whether you're watching online or one of our locations, man, we're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Hey, if you are watching online, in the chat, put where you're watching from, because this church is a global church. You guys affect so many people around the world. But I do want to say this. If you have never had the opportunity to hear any of the Lindells preach, then you owe it to yourself to come back and hear some of the greatest communicators you will ever hear preach the pure and unadulterated word of God. Aren't you grateful that we have? It's not just, I mean, Pastor John is amazing, and but when you throw in the mix, you throw Miss Debbie, you throw Savannah, and you throw the boys in there with their wives and the kids, and you guys really are, it's not just a joke. I'm not just like come up here and pump you up. You guys really are blessed to have such an incredible family that is selflessly leading. I love that. Because the truth is, and I don't know if I should publicly say this or not, but I'm already in. David, when you were up here, I leaned over to Pastor John. I was like, he's a senior pastor. I mean, both David and Brandon, senior pastor, you guys could lead anywhere. We are grateful that you are here on this team leading at this church. We're grateful. Savannah, the whole team, love you guys. And then next weekend, guys, come on, it's Louis Giglio next weekend. So this weekend, we're playing Tiddlywinks. Next weekend, we'll go cerebral. The doctor will be in. Today, it's just Cousin Jeremy. You want to see something neat? Try that, Louis Giglio. I just removed my thumb. If it's your first time, it's not going to get better. This is it. This weekend, I want to talk to you on this subject. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. Now, whenever I sent that to the team, I sent it to the team last night because I wasn't certain what I was going to preach. I battled with it. I was like, all right, God, what do you want me to preach? I finally felt it. I was like, that's, and I've never titled a sermon that. This is the first time I've ever titled a sermon, Don't Stay Stuck, and sent it in. And this morning, Pastor John and David were talking about this, and Pastor John said, he's preached that here before, which is always scary if you travel and preach. And you announce your title and people are like, it's in my notes. You did this last year. And so he said he's preached that here before. And David was like, oh, dear Lord. Okay, let's check. Because, you know, before they call me out on it, like, hey, bro, can you actually get a word from God? Be great. Be great if you'd have a little fresh bread, if you don't mind. Before they did that, they researched it and found that I had not preached this sermon here. I've only preached a portion of this one time, and it was about 6 weeks ago, and now I've kind of retooled it and filled it for you guys. But there was a sermon preached here, that exact title, Don't Stay Stuck, 1 year ago this weekend by Pastor Robert Madu. So apparently somebody's still stuck, and y'all need to get unstuck, amen? How many of you know God didn't call you to stay stuck? He called you to be set free. And I think it's awesome that it's Freedom Weekend. So he that the Son has set free is free indeed. You ain't got to be stuck. But sometimes you feel that way, right? You ever just had a bad day where it's like, and just feel terrible? I had that day a few months ago. I was on my way to do something, obviously, for the kingdom. And what? And there was traffic. We have the Katy Freeway there in Houston. It's 26 lanes wide. It's the largest freeway in the world. You can Google it. It's unbelievable. It's just crazy. And it's wild how it all gets slammed with traffic. And I was in my truck by myself, and I'm like, I gotta get to where I'm going. You know, the Bible says, when about the Lord's business, make haste. So, you know, I felt like that was a license from the scripture for me to travel in the HOV lane, which is the high occupancy vehicle lane. And I have high occupancy in my vehicle. It just was me in there at this moment. And so I could hold a lot of people though. And so I got on the HOV lane. I said, bless it, Lord. And he did not. The state trooper pulled me over and he walked up to my truck, and I have a big truck. I have a 7-inch lift on my truck. I don't know why. It's dumb. But he's like, hey, I'm going to look up in there. And I was like, yeah. He was like, so you know why I pulled you over? And I said, no. His confession is good. Like, I'm going to be healed now because I have confessed my sin. And I said, no, I knew why. And he was like, well, you're in the HOV lane and you're by yourself. And I looked at him, I said, I'm a pastor. I said, hey, Jesus in here, bro. I ain't never by myself, bro. That dude laughed and gave me a ticket anyway. He wasn't a Christian. I prayed for him, although I didn't pray as strong as I would have if he'd have said warning. It's fine, whatever, it's fine. But I thought about it later. Hey, you may feel all by yourself, but according to scripture, you are never alone. He has said, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But there are times when it feels that way. And on the side of the road, frustrated with a $250 ticket in my hand, I felt alone. I said, Lord, I even witnessed about your name. I think sometimes God laughs at our excuses. But wouldn't it have been weird if I'd have decided to stay there? The officer leaves, and I'm like, I have failed. I'm going to stay right here. I've made a mistake. I have messed up. And as ridiculous as that would have been, somebody at some point would have come and tried to move me along. There are so many of us who have made a mistake, who have messed up, who have failed, who have gotten in a bad situation, or you're dealing with sickness, or you're dealing with pain, or you're dealing with heartache, and somehow your diagnosis became your destiny. And it's not your destiny, neither is it your identity. At some point, you've got to stop identifying with your pain and start identifying with your healing. Instead of saying, I'm broken, start saying, I'm whole, because God can set you free and you can be unstuck. And as Christians, we're not supposed to stay stuck. Philippians 2 in the Message version, verse 15 says this, and I love the way this reads, go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid, polluted society. Have you ever just needed a moment where you could just breathe? Just, that's what church does for me. That's what James River does for me. Every time I come here, I would be here every Sunday, and I'd be here every Wednesday night if I lived anywhere close to here. You know why? Because it's a breath of fresh air. Aren't you grateful that we have a life-giving church? You ever been to a death-giving church? I've been to those death-giving churches. You're all going to hell. You're dismissed. You're like, ugh. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. I love that. But why is it so hard to do as a believer? Why is it that we meet so many believers who couldn't spell joy if you spotted them two letters? You know what I'm talking about? The covert Christians. They in the Secret Service. You don't know they're a believer. They have a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. You honk and they flip you the bird. Like, bro, you're the one who, never mind. You need a bumper sticker that says, honk, I need Jesus. That's what you need. Why is it that we walk through life so often feeling like something is missing? Maybe it's in your marriage, something's missing. Maybe it's in your job, something's missing. Maybe it's in your career, your dreams, your hope, something's missing. Sometimes even in your faith, you can get to a point where you're like, God, I thought there was more. And usually when I've gotten to that place, and as a pastor, I've gotten to that place before where I felt like, God, isn't there more than this? Typically, it's because I'm not praying and I'm not as connected to God as I need to be. I'm more connected to my problem and more connected to my pain than I am to my purpose. And when I get reconnected to my purpose in accordance with Christ Jesus and in this word, everything can go wrong, but I can still feel whole. Why? Because truly, even in bad circumstances, God is faithful. I can be in a bad situation, but a bad situation is not in me. Why? Because where I'm going is greater than what I'm going through. And last time I checked, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we're going to be all right. So how do you get unstuck? Because there's so many of us that are stuck. Well, you have to read about people and study people who have been stuck. And look at how they handled it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a master at perspective in a bad situation. The book of Philippians is what we call a prison epistle, which simply means he wrote it while he was in prison. It's not an easy place to be. It's a hard place to be. He's in prison, and here's what he writes, Philippians 1:12. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here, he's in prison, and he's qualifying everything. Now, he's been beaten, he's been lied on, he's been rejected, he's been deceived. Everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. If I just ended the day right there, I think it would help you. If you just stop looking at everything as an attack on your life and start going, I wonder how God could get glory through this. Wonder how I could walk through this and give God glory. Have you ever seen one of those old saints who's just going through something terrible and you're like, how you doing? They're like, blessed and highly favored, baby. You're like, not really, you know? What's happened? They've learned the secret. They figured out it's not about what's happening to me. It's about what's happening on the inside of me. And God is good all the time. Even when I'm in hardship and struggle, he's in prison. And he says, for everyone here, including the whole palace guard. What does that mean? That means every palace guard. Now that's important. I'm gonna come back to it, but I want you to remember that. Including the whole palace guard knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, that's a strong sentence. And because of my imprisonment, when was the last time you said, oh, because I'm dealing with this horrible situation, Christ is gonna be glorified. Oh, in the midst of my sickness. Oh, man, I'm so glad I'm going through this because Christ is going to be glorified. In the midst of my pain and heartache and people lying on me and stabbing me in the back and talking negative and all the bad things. Oh, man, everybody knows that I'm here in this situation because of my faith in Christ. What a perspective, and how weird would people look at you? They're like, man, I'm so sorry you're going through. Oh, no, it's a good thing. Oh, are you okay? Yeah, God be glorified. You know what? People might, they might just want a little taste of what you got if you can go through a bad situation and keep the joy of the Lord as your strength. He never said the joy of my situation. He says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Paul says, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Now, let me put it in a little context. He's not just in prison. He's in a Roman prison. And most theologians and biblical historians believe that he is at this point in the Mamertine prison, which is the lowest Roman prison. And if you look it up, you Google it, there's actually a prison cell, and then there's a hole in the floor where they would lower these high-risk prisoners into this hole in the floor because they were an escape risk or a flight risk. You gotta go, Paul was a flight risk? Yes, because angels routinely walked through walls to set him free. You gotta know how that conversation went with the guards. Hey man, just watch out because somebody might try to come break him out. Is it the mafia? Who is it? Oh, no, it's angels. And he's lowered into this hole. And in this hole, the reason they keep a rope around his waist is because when it flooded in Rome, the Cloaca Maxima would flow through the bottom of this cell. Cloaca Maxima meant the great sewer. So the Roman sewer would overflow and flow through this bottom lower prison, and they would have to pull the prisoner up so that he would float in it and not drown in it. He's really in a bad spot. And he says, remember, the whole palace guard knows that I'm in here for the cause of Christ. Do you realize that theologians believe that they had to change the guard at the Mamertine prison every hour on the hour? Because if they left a guard longer than an hour, Paul would preach Jesus to them so much that he was converting Roman guards to Christianity while he was in prison. When was the last time I went through a hard situation and let Jesus shine the whole time? Don't stay stuck, even in a bad situation. The challenge is we haven't found the secret. And Paul found the secret to not being stuck. It's in Philippians 4:12. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He said, I found the secret to contentment. Now, there's a difference between contentment and stuck. Contentment, I looked up the word. It means a state of peaceful happiness. You mean I can be in prison and still have peaceful happiness? Yes, if you give your life to Christ and you allow Christ to give his life to you. But if not, I'm just stuck. And some of us are stuck and calling it contentment. Well, it just is what it is. The marriage just is what it is. The family just is what it is. The situation just is what it is. But that's not how it has to be. I live in Texas. I live in Houston, Texas, and I love my city. I love Pastor in Hope City. Shout out to all my Hope City people. I love Pastor in our church. Come on, somebody. God's blessed us. But I'm originally from West Monroe, Louisiana. That's right. West Monroe. West Funroe is what we call it. And it is quite possibly the stinkiest town you've ever been in. That's true, because it has a paper mill in that town. Y'all ever smelled a paper mill? I never smelled paper that smells like that. And the bad thing about it is it's so bad, like if you drive on I-20 between Shreveport, Louisiana and Jackson, Mississippi, you know when you go through West Monroe because it smells awful. But the whole town's in denial. I mean, if you can be in a random restaurant and be like, man, this town stinks. And some old guy will be like, hey, boy, this town smells like money. Because they work at the paper mill. You know, their kids are like, Daddy, this town stinks. Like, that smells like breakfast is what that smells like, son. That smells like bread and butter is what that smells like, boy. It's so bad that if you live there a long time, you don't even smell it anymore. Like, your friend comes in, visits you, you're driving through town, and then all of a sudden your friend's like, and you got to be close to ask this, but they're like, hey, is that you? You're like, no, that's the town. That's the whole city. Smells like money. Hey, it don't smell like money. It stinks real, real bad. But you've lived in it so long that you've recharacterized what it actually is. You've renamed the smell to actually name it something that you can live with, because you've lived with it so long that you've gone nose blind to it, and you can't even smell the stink anymore because you have just adjusted and you have gotten stuck in the stink. Instead of being content, you've just, it is what it is. And I'm telling you, there are many of us who are living lives that God has never called us to live, living in bondage that God has called us to be free from, but we've gotten used. What have you gotten used to that God wants to deliver you from? What are you stuck in that God's kind to set you free from? I can't answer that. You have to think about it. What have I learned to live with? You got to get free. The only way to get free is to realize that you're stuck. You ever met somebody who's in denial about something? Like they don't even know they're going through, so they don't even know they're dealing with it. You ever talked to somebody who has real bad breath? And then they ask you if you want a mint? You're like, no, bro, I'm going to donate it to the cause. You just open your mouth, I'll slip a Tic Tac in there because I can't talk to you. It's 6 feet. So many of us are stuck and we don't even know it. There's three symptoms of being stuck that we're going to talk about. The first one is simply this. You start faking it. You act like everything's okay when it's not okay. How you doing? Fine. Where y'all going to eat today? Fine. Fine. It's so funny to me how we're so good at faking it, acting like everything's good. Now, don't get mad at me. Women, y'all are better than this at men. Because men, it's hard for us to hide it. Like if we don't like another brother, I'm going to chin check him. Sup? You know what I mean? Like he looks at me too long and be like. And if he comes at me, I'm like, hey, bro, hey. James River Security, y'all, come on. Y'all are everywhere. Best security team in church right here, James River. If you don't know, try some. These dudes are like, I wish you would right now. I'll pop a cap and pray later. That's what we do. I'll pop a cap and then help you meet Jesus because you're getting ready to meet him right now. We don't hide it well. Ladies, y'all hide it so well. You can see a lady you can't stand. You literally just, you're with your friend. You're like, look at her, walking up in here like she owned the place. And then she looks at you, you're like, hey girl, how you doing? So good to see you. Hug her, hugs and call me later. She walks off, she's like, you see what she had on? Look like she'd been shopping at Goodwill. Broke self coming up hugging me. She's so broke, she's like a little old lady who lived in a shoe, except she don't live in a shoe, she live in a flip-flop. We're good at faking it. But at some point, you've actually got to be honest with what you're going through, because so many of us are just going through the motions, putting Band-Aids on bullet holes and thinking that our wound is okay because we've covered it, but it's never actually been healed. At some point, you got to take the Band-Aid off, let it breathe, let somebody do some surgery on your soul so that God can heal you. Why do you think we confess our sins not just to God, but to one another? Why? Because then somebody can help you walk through the pain that you're dealing with. The challenge is we are so good at hiding it. Aren't you grateful that we have a pastor who is not afraid to rear back and preach what thus saith the word of the Lord? And this is not just a motivational pulpit. This is a word-soaked pulpit. But do you realize there are a lot of places where they just won't tell you what you need to hear. They tell you what you want to hear. And this is nothing new. This was happening in the days of Jeremiah. Here's what he said. They dress the wounds of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. He was talking to pastors and ministry leaders in this moment. He was saying, stop telling the people what they want to hear. Tell them what they need to hear. That it's not okay. It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to act like you're okay when you're not. At some point, you've got to open up. That's why we have groups. At some point, you've got to go through growth track, get on the team, get around some people who can strengthen you and help you. I know this sounds obvious. You ever read the Word of God and been like, yeah, that's kind of obvious? Kind of looking for something more brilliant than that? 1 Corinthians 10:12 is that kind of scripture. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. It's not really profound, right? It's kind of obvious. Hey, if you think you got it all together, just be careful because you might not. Appreciate that. It's the obvious. You ever been around somebody who states the obvious? My dad was a master at it. I remember I was probably 12 or 13. I was vacuuming the living room. Remember those rainbow vacuum cleaners? You know, you got the you got this detachment part, you got the hose that goes over to the water, and you got the, it's like an airplane engine over there. And dad walks in, he goes, hey, turn that off. I was like, yes, sir. He's like, hey, help your mother out around here today. Yes, sir. I was just taking the vacuum cleaner out for a walk. He still does it, y'all. Seriously, like last year, we're on the way from the church to my house. We're on the interstate. Right before we get to my exit, my dad goes, you're gonna wanna get off here. Dad, if you're watching, I love you, truly. But I looked at him, I was like, are you sure? I was like, man, without you, I'd have gone all the way to California. I'd have hit the Pacific Ocean, been like, what happened? You weren't here to tell me where to turn. Those people drive me crazy. But I also need them in my life because they're the same kind of people that look at you and go, hey, how's your prayer life? I pray. How's your prayer life? You ever answer that? Hey, how you doing spiritually? I'm fine. How are you doing spiritually? If those questions make you mad, that's because they're setting off an area in your life that actually needs to change, and you actually need somebody to look at you in the eye and say, hey, how are you really doing? Are you really okay? At some point, we got to be honest and stop faking it. The second thing is we just say something like, oh, I'll just deal with it later. I'm just going to deal with it later. Ah, I know it's a problem. I know it's a challenge. I know we need counseling right now. I know that I probably need therapy. I know I need some addiction management. I know I need to get in a group. I know I need to go through Grow Track. I need to get on the dream team. I need to do all of those things. I'll deal with it later. I'll deal with it later. And the challenge is we walk into situations currently that we should have dealt with before we got there. And we think we're going to survive this moment without any prayer, without any fasting, without any good, strong group around us. I remember when I turned 30, I decided I was going to start working out. So I got a gym membership, because that's obviously the first thing you should do when you want to get healthy. You get a gym membership. How many of y'all have ever got a gym membership and just felt better because you had it? Just walk around a little bit like, how you doing? Yeah, I got a gym membership. You started working out? Not yet, but going to. Got to lose a few pounds before I go in there. And so I went to the Glenwood Medical Fitness place. That's what the name of it was. And it was mostly senior citizens and me. And my wife was like, you should go do a class. And so I went in and I signed up for body pump. Anybody ever heard of body pump? Yeah, you can't breathe right now. You couldn't hardly hold your hand up. It was body pump. Because body pump is high intensity interval training. And I walked in there. I signed up for the class. I walked in there and I was the youngest person by at least 20 years. Maybe 30 years. I was the strongest person. I walked in and it was all elderly ladies. And you would think it was like, it was literally like going to a church that hadn't seen a guest in a long time. They were like, oh, you come over here, honey. We're so glad you're here. You come right here in the front, right here where the pastor can preach directly to you. You come over here. So I got in the front and she was like, you gonna wanna pick up your weights over there? And I looked and she had like 10 pounds. So I went over and got 25s. Why are you laughing? I didn't know what body pump was. And so I walked over and Granny looks at me and she goes, hey, you might want to drop weight. And I was like, you might want to stay in your lane. But I didn't say that to her. I was like, I'm fine. I'll be fine. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And then the instructor came in with a little microphone. She was like, okay, guys, okay. We're going to start doing this with the hips. With the hips, now pick up the weight. We're going to pump, and we're going to pump, and we're going to pump, and we're going to pump. We're going to squat, and we're going to squat. And I was good for a minute and 10 seconds. 25, crushing it. I was looking at your hand, like, yeah. And look, I didn't even know when it happened. All I know is I couldn't pick my arm up. This one went out first. I was like, it was all off balance. I'm like, yeah. I'm trying. Granny's looking at me. She's like, you can do it. I'm like, I can't do it. I tried another 30 seconds with no weights. I finally left. I walked out like this, right? I couldn't move my arms. I was like, she was like, where are you going? I said, I hate you. Now, here's what's ridiculous. I used to lift weights in high school. Like, my bench max in high school was 285. Your boy could lift. In the 10th grade, I was 30, trying to exist on a 13, 14-year-old experience. And some of us used to pray, and we used to fast, and we used to be in a group, and we used to serve, and you think you're going to glide through the pain and the problem that you're in right now without prayer. You have got to work that prayer muscle. You've got to work that faith muscle. Some of you are wondering why it's so hard right now. It's because you're not dealing with it. You're procrastinating it right now. You're saying things like, it'll all work out. The key word there is work. You actually have to work it at some point. God rarely gives you anything you haven't pursued. Reaching is proof of passion. Over 300 times in the scripture, there's a reference to if you will, then God will. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. Some of us keep hoping the door opens and we've never actually knocked because we're afraid of what's on the other side and we don't actually want to deal with it. Sometimes we say, oh God, give me wisdom. God's like, here, read a book. No, I would like a wisdom download. Do you know time doesn't heal all things? Some things only the Holy Spirit heals. Actually, some things get worse unless you deal with them now. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I see this in marriage all the time. Somebody's angry. Somebody's mad. Let me just, where's all the single people at? Raise your hand if you're single. Raise your hand if you're single. Hold them up high. All campuses, look around. That's what you're working with. It's the crop. This is the crop here at this campus. There's other crops at other campuses. Go check out the crop at the West Campus. Joplin's a new crop. Can I tell you this? If you're dating somebody who's angry, break up. You heard the amens. That's people who've lived through that. Some of y'all are just looking straight ahead, going, amen. Please help. You know why I say that? Because if you marry somebody who's angry, they'll blame you once you're married. Because you can't close an account you didn't open. They actually have to forgive somebody. But if they don't deal with it before they're married, they'll deal with it all through their marriage. Oh. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with it now. The third and final thing. When you get stuck, you ultimately just give up. And I don't want you to give up. There's so many of us. Oh, man, I hope this awakens something in you. This weekend, I just feel like I'm at home. I just feel like I'm preaching to my church. What an honor. I'm not trying to be spectacular or flashy. I'm trying to give you tools that'll help you. Some of you have given up and you didn't even know you gave up. You gave up on your hope. You gave up on your dream. You gave up on the thing that God called you to do. You thought at some point you would lead a group and you've kind of given up on that. You thought at some point that you'd be involved in outreach. You'd go on a missions trip and for some reason, whatever reason, you've kind of given up on that. You've kind of backed up off the dream. You thought you'd start a business. You thought you'd go back to school. You thought you'd do some marriage counseling. You thought you'd get that promotion. You thought you just gave up on it. And I'm just telling you, stop giving up on it. Get in position and allow God to do something amazing. You want to get unstuck? You got to get in the right position. You got to get in the right position at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 5. It says, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And there were four friends who brought their buddy who was lame. They brought him up on the roof. Some of you, if you've been to church for a long time, you know the story. If not, I'll give you the brief synopsis. They tore the roof off because they couldn't get in to Jesus. There were people all around him. And notice the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord was present to heal them. And all of a sudden, the roof tears off and this lame guy gets lowered. And what does Jesus do? Jesus first forgives his sins and then he heals him. And the guy stands up and it's an amazing miracle. But the thing that blows me away is the fact that the Spirit of the Lord was present to heal them, but only one of them got healed. Why is that? And he was the weakest guy in the room. He's the guy who couldn't even ask Jesus for a miracle. He was the guy just presented himself. Actually, his friends brought him to Jesus. He couldn't even get to Jesus by himself. But I want you to notice the difference. Here's Jesus. Here's all the people. Can somebody come help me? Come on, y'all come out here real quick. Singers, y'all come on. Come on, singers, come on out here. Help me, if you don't mind. Quickly, don't move slow. Move like y'all were moving on stage while... Come close. Okay. So they're around Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is present to heal them. And they're going, what a great word. That's powerful, Jesus. Whew. Strong. Where are we going to eat, Jesus? And then this dude comes in from the roof. Will you lay down right here? Smile. Not a cool position. He didn't come in with his best. He came in with his worst. He didn't come in with the strongest. He came in at his weakest. He couldn't even get in the door. People had to tear off the roof to lower him. You know everybody had something to say. All these guys are like, we got here. We stood in line forever. And this guy's going to come and get a front row seat immediately. But I want you to notice the positioning. Weak. Exposed, hurting, broken, present in the room, positioned at the feet of Jesus. Nothing to hide, nothing to lose, nothing to prove, just open. God, here I am in all of my brokenness. I know I'm stuck, and you're the only one who can set me free. So in this moment, I yield my life to you, and I say, set me free. And what did Jesus do? Jesus not only forgave him of his sins, but he set him free. And then he said, hey, go out there and show people what the Lord has done in your life.